We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Everyone raise their hands with the four fingers up. We're going to finish strong in quarter number four. Keystone Kickoff Show is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
Boom. Andrew P., thank you for the assistance. All right, quarter number four. Here's what we're going to talk about, guys. What are the coaches' challenges going into spring practice? We know there's several things, several topics we've alluded to in the last couple weeks. I wanted to find out what the two of you thought were the biggest issues, the biggest challenges for the coaches. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Since we did the two raw segments, I think embracing running back by committee. I think that is a challenge that the coaching staff should embrace. The last 4 years, Penn State's been a one-back show. 3 years of Barkley, 1 year of Miles Sanders, as it should have been. They were stud one-back shows. I don't think that's the case now. I think there's too much talent in the room, in my view, to be anything other than running back by committee. I think you need to embrace a multiple use of running backs thought process and start implementing it. The sooner the better, and why not start this spring? And if you spend all spring and into fall looking for the one back, I'm not sure you're going to find it. And I think you're going to be trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. To me, it feels like with what you have in that room across the board, young, old, transfers, new guys, the diversity of them, running back by committee, if you embrace it, I think it could be a weapon for this team.
So here's my only thing about that. I am not convinced, and I do think that that's a good challenge for the coaches. I'm not convinced that Journey Brown or Noah Cain are nearly as good as Ricky Slade.
I agree.
I'm not convinced about that. So,
but I think Noah Cain's a better pass catcher than Ricky Slade.
Oh, I don't know about that.
How would we know?
Yeah. I just watching them.
But they didn't throw the ball to Ricky that much. I think, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Ricky Slade is this year's Miles Sanders and that Journey Brown and Noah Cain become this year's Ricky Slade, if you will. I think there'll probably be a little bit more rotation, Andy. I just, from what I've seen as football players, I know Journey Brown has the physical ability. I know Noah Cain has the rankings. I think as football players, I think Ricky Slade is a lot better than the other two from what we've seen so far.
Correct.
Are you concerned at all about Slade's size in carrying the load, getting 20 carries a game?
That right now. I don't know. It's like 200 maybe?
Yeah, I don't think he's really up to 200 yet.
He does seem pretty thick. He's just short, right?
Yeah, you know, I remember thinking he was really little in high school, but I don't think he looks that little out there for Penn State. He was always listed at like 5'9", 185.
He's got pop, too. Like, when you watch him on the screen and watch the game on TV, there's a pop to him that's just a little bit different.
Yeah, he's got to be over 200 pounds now, I got to think. So I think he can do it.
And Andy, you brought up about pass catching. My point was when I said, how do we know about? They didn't throw the ball to Ricky Slade, did they? Or much?
Not much.
But maybe
like
we'll
Noah
see.
Cain's pass catching ability.
All right, Ross, your turn.
Well, the number one coaching challenge that I think of, or one of them at least, is the wide receivers. They're all going to be young, and they had a lot of drops a year ago. And I don't know what it is that the new coach needs to do, but they got to wipe the slate clean from last year and all those drops. And he's got to really bring those guys along so that they're playing like juniors and seniors, even though they'll all be, you know, sophomores, if you will. They need that group to really play well, especially with a first-time starter at quarterback. So I would say the wide receiver coach, getting the young receivers to play like veterans and to instill confidence somehow that they catch the ball.
I wrote down the word confidence here because I These guys are all very talented. They didn't. They're not coached to drop the ball. Right. It's not like they don't know how to catch the ball. I think it's just a matter of confidence. And I believe in his press conference, that's what the new coach Parker talked about, was confidence. My question though is, with the young guys, were they the ones who had the drops, or was it just the veterans who were dropping passes last year?
I don't remember Dotson or
Handler had a few drop, a couple. He dropped a
couple. Juwan Johnson had a bunch. Tompkins had a bunch.
Had a bunch. Cam Sullivan Brown had a couple when they targeted him occasionally.
But the biggest culprits are gone.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
I think that's helpful.
I think that's fair.
I'm going to throw one in here. I'm going to throw in the obvious one. How do you handle an obviously still injured Tommy Stevens and a talented backup with Sean Clifford? Clifford's going to be getting a lot more reps, of course, in spring practice. How's the balancing act here? Do you just come out and declare Tommy's the starter, that's it? Or do you try to leave it open as possible? How do you handle that, Ross?
That's a really good question, and that is a really good challenge. The splitting of the reps between Tommy Stevens and Sean Clifford, especially with Tommy's injury, whatever that is, that may actually make it a little easier.
It might.
Because of the injury. But there's a fine line between having a competition and wanting one of those guys to emerge as the man and being the leader that everybody can rally around. It's really important. Really, really important that you have a guy that emerges as a leader and can say, this is my team. Penn State's had that really for 3 years mm-hmm. with Trace McSorley. I think the sooner that they're able to do that, the better.
So do you see James Franklin declaring Tommy Stevens is our starter? How do you see this playing out? And I know it's tough because we don't know about his injury.
I don't think he goes any further than what he's already done and said that, you know, Tommy will be given every opportunity to be our starting quarterback. It's sort of like he's the de facto number one. Don't change the narrative if you don't need to. Tommy's hurt. Don't change the narrative because Tommy's hurt. And put Clifford more out there in the forefront, because you're only going to make the case without having to make the case on the field. You know what I mean? Don't make a case. Just leave it as it is. Let him ride it out. And it. I think it's going to go into camp. I think it's going to be exactly like it comes out of spring. It's exactly how it's going to enter into camp. That's just my thought.
You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and the Keystone Sports app. Andy, you're up again. What do you got next?
I'm going Ricky Ronnie's going to be better in his second year because, and hopefully, he figures out how to really use KJ Hamler as a weapon, because he is a weapon. Get creative. You know, I said it before a couple weeks ago. Watch lots of Kansas City Chiefs film and see what they do with Tyreek Hill and decide what you want to steal from that or borrow or, you know, whatever. And use some of that to make KJ Hamler a weapon. That is, I think, one of the biggest challenges as a coordinator, as a play designer, as an offensive sort of, you know, you tinker with it, you take the parts that you have and do it. That, I think, is his biggest challenge going into year two, is to be able to unlock KJ Hamler for the weapon that he is and use him because he is one. That's Ronnie's challenge. That's not Hamler's challenge. That's not the quarterback's challenge. The unlocking of Hamler is tied to the offensive coordinator setting up the offense to put him in that position.
Ross, how does that conversation go in the coach's room? Obviously, you have this great weapon in KJ Hamler, Pat Freiermuth, another weapon. And I think a theme, at least among us fans, us homers, was why aren't they getting the ball to KJ Hamler more often? Why didn't they?
I think the exact same question happens in the meeting rooms. Yeah. Like, I actually think it happens during the game.
Yeah.
Where Franklin goes like this, covers his mouth, and goes, get the ball to Hamler. You got to get the ball to Hamler somehow. Can we get the ball to Hamler? Because there were times where you could see it was a very clear focus for them. It was almost like there'd be a time, like, they get to the third quarter, they'd be like, wait a minute, we haven't gotten the ball to KJ yet. We got to give him the ball back. You know, we got to get the ball in his hands. By the way, I'm not going to go crazy on this, but Daquan Hardy reminds me a little bit of KJ Hamler.
I agree.
I mean, just in terms of electric with the ball in his hands and little, I realize that, but little dudes are fast. I don't know what to say. Little dudes are fast.
How big was Hamler? What's his weight? Do you know, Andy? You're the numbers guy.
Now, by the way, 203 is the weight for Slade? Ricky Slade.
Ricky Slade right now?
Yep, he's 203 pounds.
KJ Hamler was listed last season at 173.
He lost weight. Remember, he was down.
And
he lost weight at 173. So, at any rate. I think those coaches have those exact same meetings.
Yeah.
I would say for the offensive line, another challenge of mine is not only finding right guard, right tackle, but, you know, that unit coming together and that unit having leaders step up. Because I think Bates and McGovern, they started every game, it seemed like, forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Bates is a leader, too.
So I think those guys were the leaders. So I don't know if that's Gonzalez. He's been there, a fifth-year guy, or Mennett as a fourth-year guy, or, you know, Fries is a fourth-year guy. I don't know who it is, but I think that group, and this is, you could say this about every offensive line every year, spring and during 2 days, they come together. Because so much of that position is chemistry and working together in unity as opposed to just individual skill development. So that's always that's always a challenge for any offensive line coach, and Lime Grove is no different.
Now, you've known Michael Mennett for a while, and especially at the center position. Is that not the natural position to be the leader? And is that in his personality?
He is, I think, by nature, a pretty quiet kid.
He is.
He's a quiet, reserved guy. But that doesn't mean he can't be a leader in his own way. It doesn't have to always be verbal. It can just be by example. And then, you know, when he does say something, people will listen sometimes. But he's not a vocal kid. I do think center is the perfect position for him with his skills. And I do think center is typically, Jim, to your point, the most likely guy to be the leader because that's the guy making all the calls. So I would say, especially as a returning starter at center, and after the year he had a pretty good year, I do think that there's a strong likelihood for him to step up there. Plus a fifth-year senior in Gonzalez, fifth-year seniors are almost rare now, you know? So him being a fifth-year senior, I think, is part of it too.
So it's up to those guys to step it up then and provide that leadership for the rest. All right, that's going to be it for the Keystone Kickoff Show for today. Thank you, Andrew P. Thank you, Big Ross. Next week, we'll be back with some more Keystone Kickoff Show. We'll see you then.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.